if you guys would. We're going to be in Acts 13 this evening. Acts 13. We'll start in verse number 1 and we'll read down through verse number 3. Did any of you guys take any time this afternoon to read up on Barnabas at all? No pressure if not, but if you guys do have an opportunity, I would encourage you to go through and actually read these portions of scriptures where Barnabas is mentioned and how God has used them. We're now getting toward the end. We are at the end of the speaking gifts that are listed there in Romans 12. We had the gift of prophecy and teaching, and then the gift of exhortation, and then the other ones are actionable, which, I mean, speaking obviously is actionable, but the speaking gifts we're coming to the end of there in Romans 12. And I wanted to kind of bring this all to a head and what it is that we're as a church called to do, even with these gifts. So we've been preaching on these gifts being used within the body. But what is the responsibility then of the church for the men and the women that are gifted in these areas? What is our duty as a church to help lift them up, to help encourage them in the ministry? What is the responsibility of the church? And before we get any further in the gifts in Romans 12, the Lord had laid this on my heart as an encouragement to us. So Acts 13, verse number 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas," which, like I said this morning in this morning's message, Barnabas is also a gifted exhorter. He's a prophet and a teacher, but also a gifted exhorter. And he's mentioned here in Acts 13. "And Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have such clear examples of how we are to conduct ourselves within the church, within the body of Christ, that we could help our brethren, we could help our sisters, we could encourage the ministry. Lord, if we would seek your face, Father, that if we would follow the leading of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that here at this church, Lord, we would be submitted to what it is that you've asked us to do, that we would not hinder the work, we would not hinder the call of God, but Father, that we would walk with you and be faithful over what it is that you've given to us. Though this church may be small in number and small in size, Father, there have been many that have been called from this church, and it's all glory to you. Lord, encourage us with that this evening as we look at these men that were separated out for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want a title for tonight's message, it's "When God Calls a Man." When God calls a man. There is a difference between a man who himself decides to do something for God. There is a difference between a man who himself puts himself into positions of ministry and a man whom God has called. Acts 13 is giving us an example. This does not show us ambition. What it shows is it shows a divine appointment, a divine call of God. Barnabas and Saul, as they're here at the church in Antioch, they weren't striving or vying for position within the body. They came to faithfully minister for a year. They spent time with these people. They did what God had called them to do, which was to preach Christ and to make disciples. They were already faithfully serving among the prophets and the teachers. And while they were ministering, God spoke. The Holy Spirit spoke. Something I want to encourage the brethren with, and something I want to encourage those that are listening with, is that God rarely calls idle men. He calls men that are already faithful in the work. They're already in motion in the ministry. So what does this look like whenever God calls men? We can be extremely plain about this because there are several things that become evident whenever God calls a man. First of all, the call comes from the Spirit, not the flesh. Notice it says in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. This wasn't a motion from some preaching service that were calling and urging men into the ministry. This wasn't some hype around some revival service. And this wasn't pressure from other members of the body. They weren't saying, oh, we think God has called you this way, or oh, what about this, or what do you think about this? It was a divine direction, and it was clear. The Holy Ghost spoke. A called man may wrestle, should wrestle. He may even doubt himself, but deep down, a called man knows that this is not his idea, but this is God's command. I did mention that it is not from men coming and urging a man into his call or what they believe he is called to. But do understand that the body will recognize, should recognize, whenever a man is called. The Spirit spoke, but the church also had to hear it too. This is critical for the body. There needs to be those that can discern whenever the Spirit of God speaks. A true calling will not live in isolation. It'll be confirmed among mature believers. Prophets, teachers, and men that are grounded in the truth will discern the calling of a man. So, if no one who walks closely to the Lord can recognize your calling, you should probably go back to the altar and not to the platform. There needs to be a recognition within the body of mature believers if a man has been called, because that call requires separation. It's not easy. Look what they did. Look what the Spirit said. Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. A calling of God always involves leaving something behind. It involves leaving comfort behind, familiar roles behind, predictability behind. God does not call men to stay the same. He calls men to separate. And not everybody will understand that. There's weight to a call. There is weight to a man that has been called to evangelism, or a man that's been called to prophesy, or a man that's been called to minister, or a man that's been called to teach or exhort. What is the church to do? And this is where many miss it. So listen. When God calls a man, what is the responsibility of the body? We have the example here at Antioch. Antioch shows us clearly what it is that we're to do whenever God calls a man. Notice something. What were they doing whenever the Holy Ghost spoke? They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Notice that the church, they didn't just rush the moment. They didn't turn it into some production where everybody came in and everybody looked at them and they put them on a pedestal. What did they do first? They honored God. They honored God first. If we make that moment about the man, we'll miss the voice of God. The church must constantly seek the face of the Lord. There will be men and women amongst us that are called to ministry. God will do this work within the body if we are faithful to pray and to fast and to seek His face. We must fast and pray over the calling. Notice that. They fasted before and after the call was spoken. Verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. They didn't say, well, God said it, so we should just move. They didn't. What did they do? They went deeper into prayer. They went deeper into fasting. Because real men of God, real called men of God, are not launched out into the world casually. They are covered spiritually. The body must cover these men. A church that does not pray for its called men will eventually weaken them. It's something that we need to understand. This is somewhere that if we're not careful, we can fall short. We must see whenever men are called, and we must strengthen them in their call. We need to pray and fast. We seem to have gotten some things backwards in the society, not necessarily this church, but there's tradition that has taken place now that I don't see in Scripture. Whenever men are called, some may go from us. God may move people around, and that's what we need to understand. The positions may change within the body, that you may be asked to do some things that you wouldn't have ever done. There may be men that are called out, men that are called forth, men that are called up. There are going to be men that move. Because frankly, somebody's going to pass away. Somebody needs to fill the position. There are going to be men that are called to pastor, and it's not this church. There are going to be men that are called to evangelism, and they may only visit us once or twice a year. There may be those that are called to the mission field, and we never see them for 20. We need to understand that we are to cover our called men and women in prayer. They laid their hands on them. Do you understand that ordination is given by the authority of the local body? It's given by authority of the local body, and this is what I see here at Antioch. They laid their hands on them and sent them. This is not tradition. What this does is it identifies us with the man of God that has been called. Essentially, what we're saying as a body is we see what God is doing in your life. We stand with you. We agree with you. You're not alone. When a man is truly called, he should not have to fight for validation in the house of God. He needs to be encouraged in that calling. He must be. It is disheartening to a man that has been called to evangelism, or a man that has been called to another pastor, or a man that's been called to missions, to know that he's fighting against those that he loves. We seem to cling to them, to hold them, to say, no, no, you can't go. In all reality, what God is doing is he's sending those forth from the body. And it is a blessing that we can raise up pastors and ministers and preachers and evangelists and missionaries in this body. It's a blessing. We're to release them without holding them back. Notice, they sent them away. This is where it gets hard. But this is where the rubber hits the road. It's not easy to send somebody out that has strengthened you. It is not easy to send somebody out that has come alongside you. It's not easy to send somebody out that you love and that loves you. Sometimes the very men who strengthen the church are also the ones that God sends out of it. And the church must be mature enough to say, we would rather obey God than keep what is comfortable. A healthy church is not measured by how many it keeps, how many are in attendance, but how many it can faithfully send. That's a mature church. In Antioch, these men, they were already operating in their gifts. We see that they are prophets and teachers, and Barnabas was an exhorter. He helped to strengthen and encourage the body. But when the moment came, they sent him. They submitted to the Spirit. This is a picture of the body at its best. This is what we're called to do. We are called to raise disciples. Some of those disciples may become preachers. Some of those disciples may become pastors and evangelists. When God calls a man in this house or in any house, what it should look like is joy and not jealousy. It shouldn't be suspicion, but discernment over the call. We are to discern. One of the greatest blessings in my life that I can look back on in my time in ministry is there was a moment in my life that I thought that I was supposed to be going to this mission field. It was a school, essentially, that helped raise up missionaries. They put you in this place by yourself and you... I won't get into detail, but I had a man of God that I looked up to that encouraged me often. They came to me and said, brother, that's not it. He discerned. He helped me. Because there's a good possibility I would have gone and maybe gone to other things and just did what I wanted in the name of God. But I had a man that loved me enough and that walked with Jesus close enough that he discerned that that was not God's will for my life. And he approached me with that lovingly and said, brother, that's not it. You need to pray about this. We're not suspicious over the call. We're discerning. We need to be prayerful. We don't get distant either. We support. We're not to control it either, but we're to be willing to release, to allow them to go into the call that God has called them. Because the calling is not just on the man. It's on the body to respond the correct way. Men will be called. It should happen in a live church. It should. That means men will go from us. They just will. I have a friend. He was my mentor in the roofing industry. He's the one that brought me in and taught me all those things. And he was the pastor at a church there in Liston. And he spent 20 plus years as the pastor there in Liston. And my second year with him, he brought me into his truck and we went and did some things together. And he was talking to me and he said, brother, will you pray for me? Because I believe God is calling me out of the pastor and calling me to evangelism. And I said, absolutely, I will. And so we prayed. And within a year, that man was on the road in evangelism. And he spent the last 12 years of his life with his family on the road in evangelism and saw fruit born to the glory of God. 2 years ago, he called me. He had some, his in-laws were getting old and they were responsible to take care of them. So he came back and got off the road and didn't have meetings for some time and asked me if he could come and work for me for a little while. And of course I agreed. But during that time, I remember he sat in my office and he said, "Brother, I just got a phone call from a church in Kansas and they've asked me if I would take over the pastorate there. So we're going to sell our house and sell our in-law's house and we're going to move to Kansas and take over the pastorate." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." There are going to be times that men move in their call. It's going to happen. But if we're not careful, what we'll do as a body or what we'll do individually is we'll look at that and say, "Oh, well, they're unfaithful." That's not what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be here. We get so clingy at times, even to our brothers and sisters. We love them. That's not a bad thing. But the encouragement is that we need to be discerning the Spirit of God. And whenever the Spirit of God speaks, we need to hear. Because there are going to be those that are called out of this body because this body is healthy. It's living. Like I've said in previous messages, we should be filling these pews with the lost. If there's the lost here, and they're converted, if we're winning souls in this church, God is going to start calling them into the ministry. It was 6 months after God saved me that I knew He called me into the ministry. Though He didn't move me, though He kept me here, there are going to be some that whenever they're saved, God will call them. And He'll call them from us. We need to know what to do with that. We need to know that that is not a scourge against the church. It's a blessing. What glory to God that He can take a church of 30 people and raise up ministers and preachers and evangelists and missionaries. What a blessing. I know I talk about Brother Seth often, but he was one of us. And God called him into the pastorate. It's the same thing. I don't know what God is going to do with some of the other men and women that have left, but imagine. We're to pray for them. We're to beg God on their behalf that God would use them in the ministry. He still has you here for a reason. This might be the ministry that you die in. It might just be. And that's okay. Because guess what? This doesn't say all of them at Antioch were separated and sent forward. It said they called Barnabas and Paul, separated them and then sent them out. The question isn't if God will call, because He will. The question is, are we going to recognize it? And are we going to be willing to send them away? When the church gets this right, men of God walk in power. Something we need to understand. I don't want to be one that hinders God's work in the man's life. I don't want to be. There might be brothers that are called to another pastorate. There might be brothers that are actually called to evangelism and they go out. I don't want to discourage that. I want to be like Barnabas. I want to be an exhorter of the brethren. I want to encourage them. We must discern. Please get me, understand me. We must discern. We can't just send people out and say, "Here, have fun." I don't think that that's what we're going to get in this church, because I think most of the men or women that have been called are walking close to the Lord and they hear His voice. But we need to hear it. And we need to encourage them. Who knows what God is going to do over the next couple of years in this church? There is a real burden for evangelism in this little town of Rochdale. There is a real burden to go out and to soul win. If God starts to win souls here in this church and we start to see converts again and He starts to call them into the ministry, you know what our job is? It's to pray and fast. We're to raise them up. They need to be discipled. They need to be taught, so they're not just going out like Apollos did. We need to encourage them being sent. The gospel moves forward, and God is glorified. They said, separate, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. My prayer is that this is a church of people who can hear that call and then have the faith to let them go. That's the prayer. And I know that not everybody's here, and that's okay, because as I look out, I see the faithful. I see those that I believe are ones that if that moment happens, you all would be encouragers. You all would pray and discern. We need to. We must. We're in a position now within the church that we have some things that need to be filled. You need to see the call. You have to discern it. You have to. There may be men and women that are sent from us, and we've already seen it. We may see more. We may see less. We may see those that come here. Who knows what God will do? There's also the possibility, because just like Brother Seth moved from another ministry to here, to serve here. We need to be able to discern those gifts as well. If God were to bring a man and his wife, or a young man or a young lady here, we need to be able to discern those gifts. There might be a reason why God does that. The caution is that we get so wrapped up in tradition. We look at the church as everybody's here, everybody has to stay, you're all a part of this body, this is it, you can't go out, you have to stay here and serve in this ministry. We have to have 100 or 200, we have to fill the sanctuary. That's not the call. That's not what happens. It's not what I see in Scripture. They raise them up and they send them out. That's what I see. Now, there are going to be those that stay at Antioch and they serve faithfully at Antioch. They're going to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that this is an encouragement, Lord, an encouragement to me that, Lord, I can see what you're doing. Lord, there's a possibility that no one will go, that this is the ministry that you have called us all to, and that we're to serve faithfully here at Rochdale. We're to evangelize here. But Lord, you may call up some amongst us that you'll send out. You may call some to come here. Lord, that we are to discern, we are to hear your voice, that we hear the Holy Spirit of God whenever he speaks. Lord, help us. Help us to know what it is that we're called to walk in it. Lord, there's no greater joy than to walk with you and to walk in what you've called us to do. Lord, help us to be found faithful, that we might be ministering to the Lord and fasting, that this might be said of us. I pray you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.